Brian came and hung out where I was painting today for a few hours.
Where were you painting?
Karen Foreman's. I'm still painting there.
Oh,
she's good.
Karen Foreman.
Are we recording?
Wonderful. We're recording.
She's one of our favorite guests of all time.
She is.
One of the best of all time.
She's a nice guest.
You know. All right, let's bring it in.
Okay.
Let's gently...
Let's ease
massage it in.
Oh, yeah.
But not a dirty Valley Van Nuys kind of massage.
No.
No, I'm talking just like a nice Larchmont Village kind of massage.
Oh, yeah. Like that Crumbs cupcake shop
down
there. Yeah, it's like...
Well, there's a little music. There's a little... Yeah. There's maybe some mint scent in
the air.
There's
a yoga studio right next door.
There's a
bring it in like a Brookstone chair.
Bringing it nice... and easy.
I'm going to bring it in like a Sharper Image magazine.
And then when you're ready,
nice and easy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Shied Show.
Wow. Oh.
My name is Brian Gerard.
Oh, hi, Brian.
I'm alongside Gregory Hoyt.
Oh, good evening, ladies.
And a very absentee Robert Scheid. Robert's not here. Robert is not joining us in Robert's stead this evening. One of our favorite guests of all time, Mr. Graham Sworsa.
Oh,
Graham
Sworsa.
We have a full East Coast show here this afternoon.
No doubt. Full North Shore. Well, you're not North Shore.
No,
you're
Central Mass.
Central Mass. Yeah.
It's a full Massachusetts.
The studio table is always tough.
We have a full Massachusetts show.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Massachusetts is such a great state.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
It's pretty amazing. It's
you said meh?
Yeah.
Wait, is that a yeah or a meh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It carries greatness on its back.
It really does.
New Hampshire, Vermont, great.
Well, New England does.
Also.
Yeah. Massachusetts carries them.
Massachusetts carrying other great states.
That's right. It anchors those states. I never thought of it that way, Sworsa. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Mass carries those kinds.
I'm going to call it the red carpet to the sea.
Ooh.
All right. The red carpet to the sea, Massachusetts.
That's amazing.
Yes, that is
amazing.
A new slogan.
New state motto, the red carpet to the sea.
Grant Sworsa.
It makes no sense.
It's a long...
It could be the highway to the sea then.
No, it's a red carpet. It's special.
Yeah, but then it just tapers out into the sea. It's a nice red carpet, but then the cape tapers.
Yeah.
Circles back. What's your favorite part of the state of Massachusetts, Graham?
Massachusetts. Well, I would have to say Amesbury.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
It's one town in from the coast.
Yep.
So we're protected from the insanity that the Atlantic Ocean
is.
Yeah. It's on the New Hampshire border. We've got the gateway to the north.
Yep.
And it's the northernmost town in the state.
That's very true.
So we're surrounded by, just surrounded by goodness.
Yeah. And we're 20 minutes away from Boston, 30 minutes.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
It's like, it's the best town.
Is there a train that runs through Amesbury? Mm-hmm.
To Newburyport. It's one town over. So you don't want your town on the train.
No, you don't.
Because you got riffraff coming in.
That's right.
That's why Beverly Hills, it says no to the subway.
Yeah.
Because
they don't want it.
Those other people getting off the train.
What other people?
The less fortunate people.
That's true.
The non-Beverly Hills residents.
That's right.
And we may be one of those people.
No, we're definitely one of those people. That is a big part of why we'll never see public transit in our lifetime here in Los Angeles, I think.
Elitism.
Yeah, that's right.
It just won't. And until that elitism is barreled off somewhere else, we'll never see it happen.
Amesbury's lucky that they're not at the end of the line, so to speak. And it makes it a town that's like, almost like a, not that time forgot, but it just is a very like protected in a good way. It's still very much a part of the New England culture and the vibe of New England is very strong there,
yeah.
But in the sense of like, you kind of can go to Amesbury and be like, oh, I remember what this is like. Yeah. It's like a time warp a little
bit. Yeah, it's vintage nice Americana.
Way. Yeah, it's vintage Americana. Right. Exactly.
And like you said, it is a good protection. It's like you're still having a good time.
Yep.
And you have the peace of mind as well.
Yeah.
And you feel like even as a modern day city, a modern day town, Amesbury holds up. There's things to do. Kids graduate from high school,
kids
college.
Kids are graduating move from to Amesbury. High school. It's the town of the future.
It's and a good town.
What are you going to move to Amesbury to do?
Lock it down.
Yeah, like raise a family. I mean, if you want to raise a family, I would probably get a job in Boston if I were you.
Huh? Doing?
I don't know. Whatever people in Boston do. Finance. Brad Parker does finance in Boston, so that's probably...
Brad Parker.
One of probably top five fans of all time of the SHIED Show.
Really? Brad Parker?
Yeah,
of course.
Why hasn't he been on the show?
Well,
I tried to set it up.
Same thing.
Brad, you're getting on this show.
I called him one time.
One of these days, you're on this goddamn show.
He's a good guy.
Speaking of the show, we got a couple things I want to cover, but let's do first things first. Greg, you had some thoughts on the show you wanted to share?
Oh, I'm thinking about quitting the show.
Oh.
This show. The SHIED Show.
Now, Graham, explain to Greg why that's a bad idea.
Please.
Well, I need for Greg to tell me why that's a good idea.
Oh.
Okay, it's a good idea because nobody listens to the show.
That's not true.
Except Brazilian women.
Which is fine.
That's fine by me, baby.
Hola.
Hola, amigas. Side note, I have had a lot of Brazilian or Spanish women adding me as a friend on Facebook, and I don't know if it's one of those hacking things, or if it's like my Brazilian fan base.
Bienvenidos, la señorita.
Right. I don't need to hear anymore.
Okay.
The reason why it's a bad idea for Greg to quit the show.
Oh, wow.
Is, have you heard of or seen the documentary Finding Sugarman?
Nope.
I haven't. I haven't. I haven't seen it yet, though.
I've heard of it.
You guys could have a cult following in Brazil that you're missing out on.
That we don't even know about?
That you don't even know about.
Could be.
Interesting.
And if you were to go there and cash in on this cult following,
it'd be worth it.
It's worth it.
Man. It's worth maintaining what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know what we're doing, man. I feel like I show up and I spill my heart out, and Brian remains mom, and Robert remains analytical, and then I feel like I've just whored myself out to the whole world.
I think the recipe of all of those creates a perfect mixture for people to digest in a nice little 20 to 22 minute nugget.
I just feel vulnerable.
Do you sleep any better or worse than the other two?
Probably sleep better.
I probably sleep better than both of them combined.
Keep it up.
God damn it.
See? That was an easy conversation.
Keep doing the show. You hear that?
Hear that, hear that, Brazil?
Here, here.
Greg Hoyt is going to continue
to do this show.
Well, it's always a conversation on a bigger level of why continue to do things you're doing.
That's a great question.
Especially creative things that you're like, where is this
Why going? Should I continue to do it when you're not quite sure why you're, what, where, is it going anywhere? Why should I continue to do it?
Well, do you enjoy the process?
Sometimes.
Sitting down and talking.
Sometimes.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
I think it's important.
I would like to start my own podcast.
Oh, see,
why? You don't have to start. Why don't you got one right here?
Well, I don't know.
He might take it in a
step
different...
on any toes.
That's right.
Well, it's not. Well, what would you want to talk? Do you want to have a specific focus of what you want to talk about?
Yeah, the focus is humanity, the human condition. What were the things that we're all up against?
Yeah.
Relationships, jobs, creativity.
Yeah.
The struggle.
Toxic thoughts.
Yeah. Oh yeah, negative thinking. Brian and I were talking a lot about that today.
We had a big discussion today about literally this very... And we've talked about it quite a bit, I believe, on this show. This is always a platform for us to expound upon those kinds of thoughts, theories, philosophies that we all have individually. And it's always a conversation worth having.
I know.
It is, because in the moment, the process of making the show is great, because you're getting it out, and most times you don't even know why. You just step into it and you do it. Later... it's out, and you're like, was that even any good?
Was that? I don't even know what
it's
I used.
It's not yours anymore.
Yeah.
It's like a song. It's like a TV show. It's like a painting. Once
it
it's
just goes out.
It's not yours anymore. It's for Brazil. Let's do it for Brazil.
So I told Greg.
Let's do this for Brazil.
So I told him, I'm like, we just put it out there. And then once it's out there, it has nothing to do with us.
I know.
Right.
We're just going to throw a microphone down and start riffing.
Right.
No matter where it goes and where, you know, that's the exercise of it for ourselves. Because we're entertainers. We're philosophers. We're vagabonds. We're auteurs.
I don't want to be a
vagabond.
We're
troubadours.
all the other things that you're saying sound good, but a vagabond is like a homeless person.
Oh.
There's a guy that sits outside of Trader Joe's, and he asks for a spare change.
He's a vagabond.
He says, he doesn't even say spare change. He says, Spange.
Got his Spange. Hey. Hey. Got any Spange.
No, he doesn't even say got any Spange. He just says Spange. And Graham and Carrie, Graham and his girlfriend Carrie, are the ones that brought it to my attention. I thought that was bullshit because I know this guy. I know of him. And I was like, he doesn't do that. And sure as shit, yesterday I was walking into Trader Joe's and he just looks at me and goes, Spange.
Spange. He's a word mouther.
Yeah.
He's a word mouther. He's also a pants pisser. Every time I walk by him, I have flashbacks to my bed as a 10-year-old.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Do you ever give Spange any Spange?
10 years old. I don't. I once saw a full cigarette across the sidewalk from him and pointed it out. And he promptly crawled over to
Oh, my God. He is on one. That guy is
But
on
this
one.
Guy... It's worth getting a picture to put up with this show because the way he walks is, if you were to watch him, he pushes a cart and he goes out on his legs so far that it's as if he's got two peg legs and you, every single step is a near disaster.
You're convinced he's going down.
He's going down every step.
Every step.
Over and over again. And your body reacts the same way. Like, every time you're watching, like you're watching him, it's a nightmare.
Yeah. He'll be all right.
Like, scientists say that humans aren't supposed to walk. They say that it's a series of controlled falls. This guy is maxing that to, like, he's taking it to the scientific limits of a series of controlled falls.
They should do a fucking study on this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You guys are really enjoying the shit out of that tea.
What has it been like to be...
This is Throat Coat Tea from Gay Maine, sent out as an Easter gift.
Thank you.
For me. She sent me a gift. In a Victoria's Secret bag.
Go on.
Graham came to my door 2 days ago and was like, Graham lives down below, in the apartment below me. And he knocked on my door, opened the door, what's up? He produces a little Victoria's Secret bag and says, this came in a care package for my mom, for you.
And the note said, Gregory, take care of your smile. And I whispered, my mom's panties were in this bag.
That's disgusting.
Isn't that disgusting? But inside it was Throat Coat Tea, two tubes of toothpaste, three toothbrushes, and
two
four things of floss.
Preloaded. Two toothbrushes preloaded with toothpaste.
Yeah. Like travel loaded toothbrushes.
It's just jam and go.
Oh,
isn't that amazing?
What? Where is she getting... Why is she...
She works at an orthodontist office, and teeth are her priority. She makes
teeth awesome.
Her business.
Yeah,
Graham's mom had braces when she was probably...
When I had braces
that's
in eighth
right.
grade.
Yeah.
Good dental hygiene is important.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to the dentist in a long time.
How long?
8 months.
Oh, that's not that long.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
By the way, when I was in eighth grade and my mom had braces, she was probably my age. Yeah. Right now.
Is that true?
Probably.
No, man. No.
Maybe.
No.
When my dad was my age...
How old are you in eighth grade? 14. I was 14.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, my God. Dad,
so
you might be right.
26. 36.
She'd
40.
Be 40.
She'd be 40.
Yeah.
So that's only a couple of years for me. Five years.
How does that make you feel?
Everybody gets their start at some point, Brian.
Everyone just lives their life, Graham.
The world is so different now. It's hard to say. You know what I mean? Like, I look at my parents, and they just turned 60, and I'm like, I remember when my grandparents were 60, and it was a very different look.
Yeah.
In what regard?
In the regard of, like, my parents seem like they're 40.
Right now?
Yeah. Mm. And they're 60.
Yep.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
And we're approaching 40, and I feel like we're 25.
Right. There's a whole shift.
That's crazy. Well, we're going to probably live to 115.
If you want to feel not 25, go hang out with a 21-year-old.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Chris Hansen. I feel like whenever I'm hanging out with 21-year-olds, which isn't very
familiar, I was going to say, when are you?
You tell when that's
with,
happening.
Yeah, I keep waiting for Chris Hansen to come around the corner with some like printout of my IM chat session.
Oh, no.
And it's To Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
They seem so young.
What's in the bag?
I had an 18-year-old girl in my bed. I told you that, like,
last
year.
Let's stop it right there.
It was nothing wrong.
Okay. I don't think he did tell me, but well, let's talk about that later.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it was legal and it was fine, and nothing happened. Yeah, okay. Good.
I like that you guys are but immediately, see, it goes right to the Chris Hansen place.
Right.
If you were in question, would you ask for her ID?
Oh, God, yeah.
That's an interesting
movie. If there was anything that was sexual about that situation, I absolutely would have asked for her ID.
Now we're carding girls.
Dude, I wouldn't fuck around with that.
That's great.
Luckily, it wasn't that situation, so I didn't have to do anything like that. But, like, I wouldn't mess around. And we're in Los Angeles, for our listeners who don't know. And we've all been around the romper room a couple of times. And we've run into a couple of cuckoo birds out there. And what is true is that I met some girls last year when I was dating that are so dangerous that it's hard to really even put into words.
Yeah. Define dangerous.
Unhinged.
Yeah.
Nothing to lose.
Yeah. There are girls who are not afraid to hurt themselves.
Yeah.
Not afraid to hurt you.
Yeah.
Women in general, on a long enough timeline, it's on rails to Cooksville.
No doubt.
Well, everyone's
next stop,
on Cooksville.
Everyone's on the road to Cooksville.
But it's just a matter of what speed train you're on.
Here's what I think is happening.
Go ahead, Graham.
For so much of history, women were taught to just button it down, keep it shut.
Yeah. This is a good conversation.
Just deal. And men were the lunatics of the world. Just out backhanding people's faces in public. Now, the tides have turned, and the women are free, and the men are so ratcheted down and ballless that we have to run such a tight ship that women just go wild.
Mm-hmm. Where did that switch happen?
That switch happened with things like, obviously women's lib, but like, I feel like domestic violence took a real weird turn in the 80s, late 80s into the 90s. Like, late 80s, it was still acceptable on some level.
Yeah. And then there was...
Not from a human level, but from a societal, like, in the 90s, like 95, somewhere in there, I think there was a shift of, like, now people, the world got a little more sensitive, and you mix that with a whole bunch of other things, like... homosexuality and coming out and that getting younger and younger into high schools, and the role of men started to shift, and then the role of women started to kind of come around, creep around the back, and then,
so to speak,
boom.
How much of an impact do you think the saturation of media played in all this?
Huge.
Like, think
huge.
About where we were in the late 80s with media compared to now.
Huge.
Because
in the internet.
Yeah.
I mean,
there are things that women did that, like, you know, murder. Lorena Bobbitt, for example. I think that was right around
when she cut that guy's dick off.
Right.
Yeah.
She had to do that because the guy was so off the chain.
Yeah, right. He was beating her so badly.
So now it's, okay, if women need to fight that bad to be ahead of the game, then the men have to retreat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then the politically correct movement came through, and which is good, I think. I mean, equality and... But it becomes a thing where you can't speak your mind about anything, which is part of the reason that I always am wanting to quit this show, because part of me feels like I'm going to be taken away to a black site and waterboarded
you'll be
at some point.
Robert.
By Robert. Like, by a guy like Robert Scheid.
No,
like
Robert.
A German-American who's very analytical and hiding his dark side. That's the kind of guy that will fucking waterboard me for speaking my mind
Robert's
at some
not
point.
Here to defend himself. Robert would not take you and waterboard you. That you know of.
Yeah.
That you don't think.
No, Robert wouldn't waterboard.
He
is for justice and all things.
And all things fair.
And fair.
The thing that let me just touch upon, the deballing of men. When did that really become? Because I agree. Oh, I feel like in general there is.
If we're going there. The deballing of men.
Here we go.
This is something that really, really hits home with me because you've got.
Graham's face is turning red. Do you notice that?
Yeah, he had to clear the tea away from him.
You look at every organization that is supposed to be the upright citizen's brigade of manhood.
Not the improv thing.
It's not a funny
thing. No, the actual.
Yeah.
You've got the Catholic Church. The church in general was once a community that men ran and gave boys something to live into. By the way, even saying boys makes me feel uncomfortable, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
that's where we're at today. Saying the word boys
makes you a pedophile.
Yeah. Thank you, Catholic Church.
Yeah, thank you for that one, guys.
And then you've got Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
You've got gym teachers. You've got anyone coaches. That's volunteering to be in the role of
mentoring
boys. It gets bastardized. I was thinking the other day, I was actually talking to Carrie about this. I mentioned it to Greg. What you need to do is anytime you have a situation like that, you just point at a guy. You're like, hey, you're coaching baseball. You're going to coach the team this year. Oh, shit. Okay. That's cool. You're clear.
That's fine.
You got to elect these people. Anyone who's waving their hand saying, I'll coach the team. Yeah. No.
Red flag.
No. They should not be coaching the team.
But what we need more now than any time ever in history is men teaching boys how to be men.
Yeah.
We don't have it.
We don't do it.
We just don't.
Well, because in the last 20 or 30 years, our dads didn't know what to do because our dads came up in this time where they were working their asses off doing the 9-to-5 thing, doing the old 1940s and 50s routine, and all around them the politically correct thing was happening. So they were like, wait, I don't know what to tell my son.
Right.
Yeah, so we don't say anything.
So they don't say anything. So then we come out of there, and then we're in this radical time of change with the internet and equal everything. And so then think about it, guys. Like, think about how many people around us have gotten married and divorced already, who are not married, who are not in relationships, who are, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much shit, or who don't own houses, don't do this, don't have this, don't, like, all of the things that we thought that we were supposed to do have completely been thrown out of the window. Even a lot of people who live back in Amesbury that we know, or Worcester, it's still not looking the way that it was. That's 20 years ago at the most.
And it's all intertwined, because you can't have the conversations you need to have with people straight because of possibly being offensive or politically correct or, you know, having gender issues. Like, it's just, you know, let it play. If you know, inherently when you have chivalry, it's misogynistic.
Yeah.
On some level.
Yeah.
That's the way the movement has it. But if you can't have either, then you're nowhere.
Yeah.
So the woman stands there waiting for the man to get the door, and the man's not getting the door because he doesn't want to be threatening or whatever.
Misogynist.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's tricky.
But I also argue that most women would love for you to get the goddamn door.
Right. But a guy's thinking.
Let us get the
door. Yeah, exactly. A guy's thinking another thing of like, well, I don't want to insult her and think that I'm treating her like a subservient.
So between between the us double guessing what we're thinking of the women, between the Sanduskies and the Catholic Church and the coaching and all that, we have essentially literally clipped the balls off of men in American society.
And I think that men and women are both equally confused about what to do.
Is this an American thing or is this an international thing?
It's an American thing and it's a micromanagement thing. If you work for somebody and your boss says, no, do it like this. No, do it like this. Can't do that. Do it like this. It's only a matter of minutes before you fold your arms and look back down. And go, tell me what to do.
Yep, shut down.
Tell me what I can do. And so we're button pushers now. Yeah. We do what we're told because there's so much that we're told that we can't do.
Yeah.
That we're all looking around for someone to tell us what to do.
And what's okay to do. And the thing is when, and this is such a, dude, this is a very interesting topic because we then also have so many, and this goes back to what we were talking about with Karen Foreman today. All these psychological terms that diagnose and label every type of behavior. And there are a billion different schools of thought about like, oh, I'm not going to respond to that. That's bringing up all this shit for me. I'm regressing. That's bringing up my past womb trauma.
I'm going to do a stop thinking.
Yeah, I'm shutting down. Mm-hmm. I'm collapsing into my past. Like all that kind of stuff that we now all know and have some sort of awareness of then has you in a relationship and you get in a fight and all of a sudden you getting in a fight becomes labeled a whole other thing. And then it's all like it all goes under these umbrellas of even that. I mean, I've just even in dating last year, I've talked about a lot of the things that I was sort of diagnosed by people that I was dating where I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's
well, a lot
like,
of that was true, though. You had.
Of course. Of course. But it's just no, but it's because it's not that anybody's doing anything wrong. It's because that's in the sociological zeitgeist right now, all mm-hmm. this knowledge and all these phrases. So we start taking them and then using them on each other.
What can we do as young men, recognizing what this is, understanding where at least some of it has come from? How can we help break this down? How can we help contribute effectively in a modern day society with our relationships?
Speaking from my perspective, keep teaching boys, men, vocations. Teach them how to use your hands. Fix the house. Fix the car.
Wait a minute. Graham said teach them how to use your hands.
That's the problem.
You can't say
anything. I know. You can't say anything because a guy like me comes along. Sorry, Graham.
Teach people the skills necessary to fix the house, fix the car, handle
stuff. Handle your shit.
Your phone isn't going to fix anything. The computer's not going to fix anything. You can Google it, but if you don't know how to do it, you're in trouble.
Thank you, Graham. Greg, what are your thoughts on that?
On how to fix what's going on?
Yes.
I mean, you know, just start at home. You got to start on your own. Like I would say the biggest thing that you can do for the people around you is to start living a good life on your own. Lead by example. The worst thing that we try to do now is tell everybody what to do and tell each other what we think would be best for them to do. And then we end up running around with fucking chickens with our heads cut off because there are an infinite possibilities nowadays. Yeah. You got to try to figure out what it is that you really want to do, what you're really about, and then go and do it as best you can.
Yeah.
And then people will notice what you're doing.
Yeah. And being a kid is an impossible proposition anyway.
Oh, my God.
Because you're never going to win as a kid. So make that a difficult, impossible proposition. Don't let your kid off the hook with, oh, you're fine. You don't have to do that. No, you don't. No. You go outside and you rake the yard and you wash the car and you do all this other shit that you...
Take action. Enough. Yeah. Be in action.
Be in action.
Instead of...
Video
talking,
game and
instead of
iPhone.
Analyzing,
oh,
instead
yeah.
of instead of sitting and receiving
yeah,
from
victims.
A computer screen.
We
and,
are a country
and like,
of victims right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Take action. Take responsibility.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough for now.
Wow.
Again, I wanted Graham to come on to talk about his amazing adventure to Alaska. We'll have to push that till next time you're around.
Come on
again,
back, Graham.
Because we always get sidetracked and talk about other things. With
everything
you.
Else.
But thank you for stepping in for Robert in his in absentia.
Yes.
Robert, we miss you. On behalf of Robert, however, on behalf of Greg,
yeah.
I am Brian Gerard.
Yeah.
We are the Shy Joe.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Good night.
Boom. Boom.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
See ya.
Good.
Bye.
Bye.
Night.
Innocent child in New Orleans, a simple girl.